Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, you could win a free trip to Disneyland, an on-again, off-again relationship with the All-American College Band.
Lower prices on some experiences. Bruno is back, a favorite returns. We talk about all the Disney 100 things and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of February 1st. How is it February already? Mm-hmm. February 1st, 2023. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Bill S. for increasing your support on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks. We actually just hosted a community trivia event this past weekend that was super fun.
With prizes.
Yes, with prizes. And a special thank you to Michael M., Kate A., AJS, and John M. for your continued support. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join.
Well, you've heard us talk about our great experiences staying at the Howard Johnson Anaheim. Well, we have partnered with them to offer our listeners some cool discounts. Weekly tiers can get 15% off their stay, and Magic Key Holder weekly tiers get 20% off. To take advantage of these discounts, head on over to dlweekly.net and click on the big Howard Johnson logo. Be sure to use the promo codes on the website to get the discount that you qualify for.
But wait, there's more. The Howard Johnson has an amazing deal going for stays from now through February that you get even bigger discounts. It's like a family and friends discount. I want to say when I looked at it, they had rates as low as $149 a night. So that's pretty awesome. So if you're going to go check out some of the fun Disney 100 activities, make sure you check out our friends over at Howard Johnson. Now let's get to the news.
With all the Disney 100 stuff happening, wouldn't it be a great time to visit? Well, you could be able to win a free trip as a member of the Disney Movie Insiders Club. It includes round-trip coach airfare and ground transportation, hotel accommodations at a Disneyland Resort hotel, up to 4 four-day tickets with park hopper option, including Genie Plus,
dang,
a Disney gift card for $300, and a VIP resort tour guide for one day up to 8 hours. To enter, visit the link in our show notes.
I was so excited when I got an email from the Disney Movie Insiders Club. For those of you that don't know, this way back in the day started as the little pieces of like paper that you would get codes on, and you'd go to the, it didn't used to be called Disney Movie, it was like the Disney Movie Club or something. I can't remember what it used to be called now, but you'd go type in the code and then you'd get points, and then you could turn those points into different prizes like Disney gift cards, all sorts of fun stuff. They still have codes, although you get like, you earn points through doing things like going to see a Disney movie and uploading your ticket, or they have fun games and bonus codes. And I think I get points because I have Disney Plus and I have my Disney Plus account linked to my Movie Insiders account, all sorts of fun stuff. I've actually gotten two really cool, really awesome Disney books recently with my points. One of them was The Women of Imagineering, which I'm super excited to read. But every once in a while, they have these really fun giveaways. And I mean, this sounds great, right? And then VIP resort tour guide for one day. Sign me up. Sign me up. I entered, fingers and toes and everything crossed. Amazing.
Yes, this is crazy how some of this stuff works, and being able to get a VIP tour and a $300 gift card and 4 day park hoppers with Genie Plus. Oh man, this is crazy. I'm just looking right now in their like fine print or whatever, and wow, I don't know. I might have to sign up for this. I am not a DMI member.
We are not sponsored, nothing like that. I'm just a member and love all the benefits. It's free. That's the best part about this. It is free to join the Disney Movie Insiders Club, and it's free to earn these points. They have free, like I said, I get points through, like, they have quizzes and they have like bonus codes that they email out or have on their social media pages to get you points here and there. But you can also earn if you upload your movie tickets and you get points that way. So there's ways to earn points that cost money, and there's ways to earn points that don't cost money. But yeah, I mean, it's a win-win. And the fact that you get a free entry into this amazing giveaway.
Well, I'm just thinking, it looks like I might be able to sign in with my regular Disney account.
Yes, it is your Disney account information.
And now I'm trying to find my Disney account information because I want to quickly sign in and get this because who knows?
Exactly. I think they also had some sort of fun giveaway like this to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. And that's usually their giveaways are like trips to Walt Disney World. Do I always enter? Yes. Have I ever won? Of course not. But it's still fun to enter. It's still fun to enter. And they also have like giveaway, like fun little, they just have all these fun little contests.
I'll have to figure it out. Now that I'm distracted and trying to win a free thing, I would
win a free VIP tour.
Implore everyone listening to go sign up and try to win this because.
And then let us know how your free VIP, how your winnings of a VIP tour went. That's
just remember,
incredible.
You can have up to 8 people on your VIP tour and you only get 4 tickets. So remember who you heard it from.
Well, the All-American College Band has had some ups and downs this past week. On Friday, Disneyland announced that the program will be put on indefinite hiatus, just to turn around on Sunday and relaunch the program. The program has been a staple of the resort since 1971. The program was previously suspended during the pandemic, but made its triumphant return last year.
I don't even know what to think about this, because Disney was like, it's going on hiatus, and I thought, why?
I thought they were, my thought process was that they were putting it on pause because of the Disney 100 and all the different things that they have going on at the park to celebrate the 100 was my original thought.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But so that was my first thing. And then they turned around and did it and brought it back. And I was like, what? Like, I think that they got a lot of feedback from everybody saying that they really enjoy this. And so then they were like, okay, well, we should continue to have it. So I don't know. I know that we've talked to people who have been involved in these types of programs at the resort before and how much they enjoyed it and it meant to them to go there and do these things. So I feel like getting rid of something like this is would be very sad. So I'm glad that they decided to change their mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of some changing their mind and good news, well, this never happens. Disney has decreased the price for Savi's Android Depot to build your lightsaber or droid. Back in October, Disney raised the prices to $249.99 to build a lightsaber and $119.99 to build a droid. Well, just a few months later, they have returned the price back to $219.99 for a lightsaber and $99.99 for a droid. The pricing has not changed out at Walt Disney World.
This is interesting because, like Tay just mentioned, they just upped the prices in October and turning around and bringing them back down. I mean, I'm real happy about that. But another really interesting thing happened that we did not report on, but they had legacy lightsabers. So these are the lightsabers that you buy from the case, not the ones that you build, that are the really nice quality, not the plastic ones that like have the extendable saber blade.
The child toy ones, yeah.
Yeah, the ones that are more like toys. These are the ones that are in the case. So this is like Luke's lightsaber hilt, Leia's lightsaber hilt.
Not custom built.
Yeah, not custom built. Anyways, they had a bunch of those on sale. They were like 30% off or something. Huh. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they had a sale on legacy lightsabers too. So now's the time to be a lightsaber collector, I guess, because you can get some deals.
I don't know if we reported on this. I don't remember reporting on it, but they also have swapped out some of the pieces now. Mm-hmm. So if you do go in to build a lightsaber, if you had done this like when I did it a couple years ago, there's different parts now that you can use to build things. And I know producer James had the big like tusk looking thing that is gone, and they have some other tusky looking thing because they've replaced it with these new ones.
I didn't know that was gone. I thought
seemed
like a popular that piece was a very popular, like, I don't remember if it was a tooth or what it was, but I saw that like the dark side one had flipped out.
Yeah, so they've replaced
the power
all of them.
And control. Oh, yeah.
So
right
elemental
there.
Nature is now like a shell kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. But all of the parts have changed. Like, we're focusing on that one because it was such a standout piece.
Well, and I feel the same with the power and control one because there's one that's got like fins on it now.
It looks
that I
don't so
remember.
Neat. I now see this is smart of them because now I'm looking at these and I'm like, I kind of want to go build another lightsaber.
Yes. Thank you, Lori, in our chat. It was a Rancor tooth.
Rancor tooth.
That was what it was. It was a tooth.
But I will say, I'm sure you've heard me say it on the podcast before, but in case you're new here, I think that the Savvy's Workshop is worth every penny of going in and doing the experience, because it's an experience.
It is an experience. Well, we don't talk about Bruno, except when we do, apparently. The Encanto projection show is returning to the facade of It's a Small World soon. Starting February 6th, the short and fun show will be back with multiple showtimes each evening.
This is such a cute, adorable show, and I am so excited that they're bringing it back. And after last week, we talked about the lighting package kind of being upgraded a little bit on Small World when it came back. I feel like, I don't know if I will notice a difference, because I feel like they're going to keep the show pretty much the same, but love this show. And I will tell you, for those of you who have not seen it in person, but have seen it on YouTube or other video sharing sites like that, it is better in person.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun. It's so fun. That whole little area back there comes, it's not just the projections on the Small World facade. The area kind of comes alive back there. It is so fun. Actually, our recommendation is to watch it a little bit further. Like, don't be right up on the facade. Don't be right at the fence. Be further back. We watched it from the, like, elevated parade viewing area. And there were, like, lasers that were going through the trees that you wouldn't notice if you were too far forward. It was so cool.
It was cool.
And, like, how the sounds almost felt like, you know, they'd, like, like, it would sound like coming from this side and that side. It's, you know what I mean? It wasn't just a solid sound. It sounded like in stereo, and like, it, like, rats were kind of running this way and then like towards the other way. It was so
rats
so
in a good way, folks, not rats in a bad way.
Yes. As in
Bruno rats.
Bruno's friends.
Yes. Yeah. Not somebody left some food out at Disneyland and had some problems.
And there's a pest problem. No, not that. Not those kind. But yeah, it was. Yeah. Very, very cool. And the show itself is literally the length of the song, and that's it. And it happens multiple times. So it's not like you have to write, like, it's not a once. It's not like the Cars lighting thing where it happens once a day, and if you missed it, sorry, you gotta try and catch it the next day. No, this happens several times throughout the evening, so it's a really fun thing to catch if you can.
So now we're going to talk just quickly about some refurbishments that are going. So if you are going for the Disney 100 that just kicked off, there is quite a lot of work going on around the resort right now. We, of course, have Tarzan's Treehouse, which should be completed sometime later this year. There is, of course, the Mickey's Toontown, which is going to open on March 8th, 2023. Sorry, that was an inside joke for the trivia night. We have Indiana Jones Adventure that should also be back later this spring. Grizzly River Run, also returning later this spring. Fairfax Market, which should actually be open this weekend, which they're just kind of doing a refurbishment refresh of. February 9th, the Haunted Mansion comes back. It's down right now to remove the holiday overlay, which stayed a little bit longer.
Same with Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind, currently down for refurbishment, but back on February 9th. And then some upcoming refurbishments to also be aware of. So the French Market and Mint Julep Bar are going down for refurbishment February 17th. The opening date is to be determined, but this is to reimagine the space into Tiana's Palace. Silly Symphony Swings will be going down February 27th, also to be determined when they will be back up. The Mark Twain Riverboat will be down March 6th through the 9th. And there's continued construction in the Pacific Wharf area to transform it to San Francisco. Radiator Springs, though, has reopened, and with it, we knew that they were going to be doing some paving work on the outside portion of the track of this attraction. However, good news, the sheriff is not frozen in time anymore. The sheriff also had a little TLC and is looking a little bit better than he had before, which is great, because that's a really, those show elements and how they bring those cars to life is just magical.
It
just
does look
so
cool.
Magical. So this, I think it's more obvious when they're not going than when they're working properly, because they're just, they fit in so well.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've done a really good job, considering that the attraction really has never gone down for a good refurbishment, that when they do break, they are put in a mode that, if you've never ridden the attraction before, seems fine.
Right.
So that's just kind of
a B mode.
It's a B mode, which I think they've done a really nice job of. That could easily go awry.
Weekly tiers who remember the colorful dancing waters near Pixie Hollow should get excited. It appears that work is progressing on the refurbishment of the fountains and lighting that go along with it. Hopefully this means that it will be back in working order soon.
This
is kind of a quiet refurbishment.
It is. It's just kind of something they're working on. I was surprised. I was thinking about this recently because when they put the fountains in the moat for the castle, yes. I was thinking that there was this other water area, and I have only seen it, I think, in person once working, and I thought it was really neat. I'm hoping that they do bring it back to its full glory.
Did you see it working when it was like the Pixie yes. Hollow version, or previous was Triton's?
Like, I saw it, yeah.
I don't remember what it used to be called, but it was a King Triton's like water area.
Did you know, fun fact, that yes. was taken and put on the top of Ariel's yes, Undersea Adventure?
Yes, King Triton, yeah, the King Triton statue that had previously lived in this lagoon, because for those of you that don't know, Pixie Hollow was not always Pixie Hollow. Prior to Pixie Hollow, it was a meet and greet. It was I think they called it Ariel's Grotto.
Yes.
But it was a meet and greet for Ariel, and outside in that lagoon or that water area was King Triton, and I think he was a fountain even. But that King Triton bust statue, whatever you want to call it, still lives on in the Disneyland Resort. However, he's just
high above,
taken residence in DCA, and he's yes on top of the facade of the attraction.
He was a fountain because out of his trident,
yes,
the water would come out of the points of his trident.
So next time you go ride Ariel's Under the Sea Adventure, look up and wave at King Triton up there.
All right. Well, the night that we record this episode, the first of the Sweethearts Night at Disneyland is scheduled to take place. A sneak peek of some of the treats was released by Disney, showing a strawberry shortcake sundae that you can get at Gibson Girl Ice Cream, mine and yours chocolate strawberry funnel cakes that you can get at Stage Door Cafe, the Bear Ia loaded steak fries at Hungry Bear, and a blood orange agua float at Tropical Hideaway.
In a surprise from no one, the blood orange agua float from Tropical Hideaway caught my eye. This looks so yummy and so refreshing. If anybody goes to Sweethearts Night and is able to try this, you need to let me know what you think, because it looks so yummy. I'm also interested in the strawberry shortcake sundae. Looks delicious as well. And I do like that it wasn't all treat focused, but that they also have the birria fries, but they're calling them the Bear Ia loaded steak fries because they're available at the Hungry Bear. But that looks like a nice, like a good savory option too. Not like,
sure,
it could be a meal, but it's also like a good shareable snack as well.
I am here for the funnel cakes, mostly because one of the problems with funnel cakes is they're so freaking huge. Mm-hmm. These are two like smaller ones, and they have like a chocolate covered strawberry on it. It just looks good. It makes me really want one, even like right now.
And if we had right a now. Teleporter, so we could teleport ourselves to Sweethearts Night just to try the treats.
We need a teleporter.
I'd be there for it.
If somebody could give us a teleporter.
Well, speaking of food, one of our favorite dining locations at the resort is finally returning today. As of the day this episode drops, as of February 1st, the Earl of Sandwich is scheduled to reopen in the old La Brea Bakery location in downtown Disney. This location is much closer to the entrance of the park than their previous location over by the monorail station on the other end of downtown Disney. And spoiler alert, their new permanent location will be on the far side of downtown Disney again. So for a limited time only, you can quickly zip over and get your Earl of Sandwich deliciousness without having to walk the entire length of downtown Disney.
So here's the question. How long do you think this will be there?
I'm not sure, because what's going to happen is Earl of Sandwich is there temporarily.
Yep.
And this location is being, from what I've understood, flattened to then rebuild the Portos. So this location, the current building is going to be flattened, and they're building a new building for Portos Bakery, which is coming to downtown Disney.
So my guess is whenever the building at the west side of downtown Disney, the side towards the Disneyland Hotel, when that building is complete and Earl of Sandwich can move there, That's what I think that they will then do that.
That would make sense. Because when that's complete, you also have other dining locations on the far end of, or, well, the hotel end of downtown Disney that would be open. So they would, it wouldn't be as big of a disruption to have the construction going on to build Portos.
Now, can we talk about how poor Earl of Sandwich, because they were on the old location and then they were closed and then they reopened at the old location and then they were closed and now they're opening at this location and then they're going to close then they're going to open at their other location.
That just shows how popular they are, because Disney is not doing this temporary pop-up shop thing for any of the other locations that are going getting new homes in downtown Disney and that new reimagined space there. So that just, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm excited.
No, I mean,
I'm glad we don't have to wait until the more permanent location is ready. I just love it. However, this is going to make me sad, because it is nice how convenient it is.
That's right there. Yeah.
Right there. They've got great, for those of you that don't know, yes, of course, they have lunch and dinner because it is a sandwich shop, but they also serve breakfast. So if you don't, if you're not a person that enjoys any of the park breakfast, you're going to laugh at me. Oh. I think I got either I'm not a breakfast person, and breakfast is not my favorite meal of the day. I don't like most breakfast foods, and I have to be in certain moods to do the ones that I do enjoy.
Oh,
I had a BLT. They have a breakfast BLT, which is, I mean, bacon, it's a breakfast food. Yeah. So the breakfast BLT is just bacon, lettuce, tomato, and mayo. But they also have a ham and Swiss sandwich for breakfast as well.
I didn't know that they have a breakfast burrito. They have a breakfast burrito, they have
oatmeal,
muffins,
fruit cups.
What?
Yep. So what is your favorite sandwich from Earl?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was just going to say. I always get the Italian, which is salami, capicola, ham, pepperoni, mozzarella, Roma, tomato, Italian seasoning, and Italian dressing. That is probably my favorite. But that's what I get at like all sub restaurants. I always get the whatever the Italian is because I like that. Mm. There are, now I'm looking at some photos as we're looking here. Wow, they have a holiday turkey one.
Yeah, that's one of our listeners' favorites.
And didn't you get a Caprese one before?
Caprese is my tippity top favorite. It is so yummy. So many delicious options. We're very excited for them to be back.
They also have a Cannonballs, which is like a meatball one, which I feel like, when we go to Subway, producer James always gets the meatball. Or not always, but frequently gets the... They have wraps, too? Mm-hmm. My goodness, I knew they had salads.
And soups. Oh,
they have a broccoli cheddar? What's wrong with me? Why have I never tried this?
I forgot about the pizzas. They have pizza bread. Tater tots. Okay, maybe they didn't have all of these things at ours. I don't remember tater tots.
See, this is the problem. If we visited more and this was located close, I feel like we would just keep going out and trying Earl of Sandwich things.
It's a possibility.
Well, there have been a lot of different Mickey-shaped things over the years, but rarely has there been an Oswald-shaped thing. Well, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit is now showing up on a new candy apple at the resort. For $14.99, guests can purchase this lovable rabbit, which is covered in chocolate with ears made of chocolate-covered crispy treats.
This thing is so adorable. It is so cute. His ears are giant. It's like two treats in one. It's like a caramel apple and chocolate covered Rice Krispie treat. Like, oh, so cute. This is ridiculous and I'm okay with it. But when I saw this posted, it made me so happy. I was so excited about this. I feel like I will need to get one of these next time we're there if Oswald the candy apple is still there. It's so, so cute.
I think this, Lori in our chat, I think is making a great point, which is if you don't want to eat the apple, somebody can eat the treats and somebody can eat the apple part.
Mm-hmm. Is like a treat for multiple days.
That's true.
Like, I'm going to have an ear today, I'm going to have an ear tomorrow, and I'm going to have half the apple the next day and the rest of the apple the day. It is like a 4-day treat if you made it out to be one.
I will say, though, looking at this, that it looks really cute and amazing from the front, but then they have a picture from the back, and I'm pay no attention to the back of this candy apple.
Yeah, for those of you, I know that we're talking about something that's kind of more visual. Just to kind of get a scale of the size of Oswald's ears, they're almost as tall as the candy apple stick. That is how big these Rice Krispie treat ears are. And it's, oh my gosh, it's so cute.
Go look at the link in our show notes.
I've never, the poison apple is my favorite decorated Disney apple. This is like, I don't know if it necessarily beats that, but man, this makes me, like, I don't get excited about the candy apples. I think they're adorable for sure, but there's just something about him. He's so cute.
I do agree with you that his face is kind of adorable.
Oh, so cute.
But I don't know why, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to spread hate or anything, but I just don't care about Oswald. Like,
Oswald is, yes, poor Oswald. Oswald's got a, like we kind of mentioned last week, he's got an interesting history with the company, and he's like the forgotten one, because like Mickey's, it's like, I don't know, because it's been like the focus
has been
Mickey.
He's like the second child, like Mickey
has
taken.
But he's not, he was the first child.
Right.
But yeah, poor Oswald's just kind of been in the shadows. So I do like that we're getting some extra Oswald love, because he's adorable.
Are you said you're going to try one of these?
I might need to. I'll probably regret it, because I don't like eating caramel apples like on the stick. So, and they're not going to let me bring a knife on the airplane. even if I politely say, but it's for my Disneyland caramel apple. They're not going to let me do that. I know this. So maybe I'll have to like see I don't know. I'll have to figure out how to cut it.
Because will a plastic knife?
I don't think a plastic knife's getting through it, no.
Huh.
But they're so cute.
Huh.
Well, fans of Steakhouse 55 at the Disneyland Hotel should be excited. There are construction curtains that have been installed outside the location, which means that something is happening in the space. The location originally closed with the pandemic, and it was announced that it was permanent when the resort reopened in July of 2021. No word on what will be going into the space, but something's happening.
Real-time follow-up before we get off of too far off. Corrine in our chat says that Disney will cut it for you and place it in a bag.
What?
If you ask. Has your life just been
changed?
My
life has been changed, Corrine. I thought that they had stopped. Like, I have never had that. I didn't know it was offered. But when we were just on Rope Drop Park Hop, she said that they used to do it, but they don't do that anymore. So thank you for saying they still do it, but you got to just ask. So maybe they don't, like, advertise. Oh, my life has changed. I do. I really enjoy, like, they're so good. I'm not a big caramel apple, candy apple person, but Disney does them really, really well.
I feel like that changes a lot, because of the fact that you can get it cut is something.
That's huge.
Yeah. But back to poor Steakhouse 55 that we've moved on from.
But the exciting thing is it's not just like there's curtains in front of it. There is a sign that says Disneyland Hotel Imagineering in Progress in front of the curtains.
I never ate at Steakhouse 55,
I do not
understand why they closed Steakhouse 55. There must have been some reasoning before it. My hope is that they will reimagine it into something fairly similar to this, with maybe some more theming or something, because I don't think there was a lot of theming. I think it was just like a steakhouse theme, but it'd be interesting if they did some, like, they picked something to theme
like
it by.
Like waltz or like, oh, 55. Yes. I mean, 55, right, is...
Right.
1955.
But have a lot of Disney stuff.
Yeah, be Disney or Walt themed. This made me sad, because I don't even know if I told you this. I'm not sure. Maybe I've said this on the podcast. I'm not even sure if I've told Tag this. But
oh, geez.
One of my things with when I was like dreaming up my Disneyland, Disney fairy tale wedding, I knew I wanted to stay at the Disneyland Hotel. And that was going to be like, I wanted Vern and I to go to Steakhouse 55 on our wedding trip, because I thought it'd be a really nice experience, a good excuse to do some elevated dining thing that we wouldn't normally do on our normal park visits. I was so excited about this, and then they closed.
That's
then
sad.
They closed, not to reopen. Now you can make the argument, oh, well, why didn't you go to the Napa Rose, or, you know, there's other, for sure, yes, there's other elevated dining experiences, but there was just something enticing to me about Steakhouse 50. I just have this love of the Disneyland Hotel. I don't know what it is. I don't have the nostalgia of how amazing it used to be, but I just love the Disneyland Hotel. So having like a nicer dining experience at the Disneyland Hotel would have been like the cherry on top of my like wedding trip out there, but It did not happen.
But see, now I feel like you've got a personal connection to the Disneyland Hotel because you got married there and you stayed there and like on your wedding. And so I feel like it's always going to hold that special place now. So I don't know. I think that there's a lot of opportunity with the Pixar Hotel now and with the Disneyland Hotel to add some more dining establishments that will kind of bring people over there. I think at some point we should eat at a Goofy's Kitchen because I've never eaten a Goofy's
one of these,
Kitchen.
Yeah, one of these times for sure.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I did not know, I knew the exterior of where Goofy's Kitchen was, but the wedding trip when we were in that area taking photos, that was when I finally like, oh, this is how you get to Goofy's Kitchen from inside the hotel. I'm terrible.
Yeah. Well, that whole
but
like,
I had never
area
been in
different.
That corner of that, like that back corner of the hotel before.
You're talking about like where that carpet was, right?
Yep, where pictures? The carpet was and where the pretty stairs were that we were taking pictures on. Yeah.
Pilots, we've detected some producer questions near Jakku. Report to your DL weekly vessels and make the jump to hyperspace. The 77 Squadron will provide support during your trivia mission. Good luck, and may the Force be with you.
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. How are you two doing this week?
I like how we were rambling on and you're like, oh, I said take it. You're like, boom, we're going right in.
I'm excited about trivia.
I am excited for trivia. He said earlier when we were talking that he was going to be fairly easy on us tonight, but we'll see.
I think it should be a good week for the two of you. But we'll find out.
We need a good week.
Well, we'll get right to it. Our first question this week. One of the Main Street Electrical Parade floats made a TV appearance in 2020. On what show could you see it?
What? Easy.
Oh, yeah. Starting you off with a good one.
What TV show?
Oh, it was Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
And
it was probably
I don't remember if it was the turtle or the snail.
Was
or
it
the
not
bumblebee.
Both? Was it not both? I feel like
Christmas.
The turtle was everywhere. I'm going to say the turtle.
It was Dancing with the Stars.
Do we just need the show? Or
I was just asking for the show, but if you want to keep on lingering on what it is, I feel the wheels are turning in Teresa's head.
It was Dancing with the Stars. And like I said, it was either, I don't remember which it was, if it was the turtle, the snail, or the bumblebee, but it was one of them.
Well, I'm hitching my
what does your gut say, Teresa?
Wagon to your horse.
What's my gut say?
What's your gut say?
Snail.
There we go. All right. Second question. Inspiring our Main Street Electrical Parades listener, Brooke A. Which float has been featured in all three of the Main Street Electrical Parade parks experiences? The ones at Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom at Disney World, and at Disneyland Paris.
The one with the drum.
Oh, the opening one?
The opening one, the train and the drum is what I'm going to say.
I was going to say Elliot.
You could say Elliot.
I'm going to say Elliot.
You might be right.
Both are staples and iconic.
And you said
so.
The opening?
Yeah, so the train with the drum that Mickey's on.
All right. During its farewell year, when it was glowing away, aka 1996, please put these parade elements in order how they walk in the parade. Okay. There are seven of them. Pleasure Island, Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Dopey's Mine Train, Pete's Dragon, and Peter Pan.
Alice is first of those.
Yeah, because isn't it, hold on, let me go through it in my head. So isn't it Blue Fairy, Train with the Drum, Alice.
Is it Peter Pan that's after Alice?
I think so. I'm going through the soundtrack in my head because it goes from like, dun, dun, dun.
And then is it the...
Do, 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 do.
Is it the princesses or is it Pleasure Island?
Pleasure Island.
Yep. Okay. Pleasure Island and then Snow and princesses, right?
Mm-hmm. Snow.
Dopey. Like Dopey's Mine Train, Snow White.
Is it that far? I thought it was towards the back, but I could be wrong. What are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So we're just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So is it Snow White? Or is it Cinderella first?
I think it's Cinderella
that's
first because there's the because there's the clock tower, right? Because that starts it because it's a bong and then all the dancers.
Okay, so final answer is Alice, then Peter Pan. Wait a minute. Maybe your logic's now wrong.
Well, see, I don't think that the tower is what you're thinking it is. I think the tower is
just a song.
I think it's not Big Ben. I think it's just a clock tower.
So you think there's two clock towers?
No, I don't think there's a Peter Pan clock tower at all because it's the pirate ship, and then it's Smee in the rowboat. And that's it. And then the beginning of Cinderella is the blue clock tower with fountains all coming off of it. And it's chiming midnight, which is like the thing.
I'm changing. I think you just said something that, okay, so now I'm thinking it's Alice, Peter Pan, Cinderella, Snow, Pleasure Island, and Elliot. Because I think I remember it with Peter Pan. You remember it with the Cinderella. Is it the in-between between the two because it fits for both themes?
I want to say Alice, Peter Pan. You're right, though. Pleasure Island, I think, was further back.
I think
back.
It's further back. I think, is Pleasure Island between Cinderella and Snow?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so final answer. Alice, Peter Pan, Cinderella, Pleasure Island, Snow White, then Elliot or Pete's Dragon.
Excellent. We will see if you are as good as the Imagineers at planning the parade. But first, I need some help. I'm lost in the park.
Oh, here we go.
I got lucky and caught the beginning of the Main Street Electrical Parade. Pause.
Stepping off at Small World or stepping off on Main Street?
The Small World one.
Okay.
I head north, but the line for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is too long. In case you weren't sure of which way I was going.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
So I hop on the train.
By the way, I have another problem with this because there is no standby line for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
He's just yucking all over your yum.
I know. I'm like, I guess trivia's over, everyone.
And wow. We're done.
Wow. Sorry, James. I will let you finish.
Yeah. Jeez. I told you I'm lost.
Yeah, be nice.
She's already having a hard enough time. So anyway, so since there's an imaginary line at Mickey and Runaway's Railway that's too long, I hop on a train for one stop. I hop off and ignore the noise to my right as I walk and take my first left. I go until I run out of pathway, and I decide to enter the building on my right. Where am I?
Star Traders.
Yeah, Star Traders. I thought you were going for Space Mountain, James. I'm like, well, this is on brand.
Maybe there's a secret entrance that you two just don't know about.
Or is this current, like right now?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say, the other thing is it could have been the Magic Eye Theater.
Oh, I was thinking there's also
the lounge, yeah.
Or the lounge, or yeah.
But I don't think that's open right now.
No, it's not.
So many wonderful things that Tomorrowland could be, right?
So many.
Could be.
But did they find me? Am I still lost trying to find the line for Mickey's and Minnie's Runaway Railway?
Yes.
Who knows? Or Runaway Railroad, I guess I should be saying. Man, it's just in trouble. But maybe they'll find me after the discussion topic this week. Who knows?
Well, this week we are talking about something a few of you may have heard about, may have seen some sneak peeks of things online, but we're talking about the Disney 100 celebration that kicked off this weekend at the Disneyland Resort.
I don't know about you. Did you get a chance to watch the live stream kickoff on Friday?
I tried, and then it like cut off. So then I gave up.
It came back.
Oh.
Like it blacked out for a while. So here's what happened for me. I was at work and I got stuck on a meeting longer than I wanted to. So I brought it up because I know that Disney likes to live stream things and then take them down.
And that's what they did with this one.
Yeah. So I told James, I said, I have it paused and I really want to catch up to it. I honestly thought it was going to be a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. In total, it ended up being, I think, an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Total. Because it started at 4 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Disneyland time. And it ended for me at around 5:30 is when I got about done with it. And so, or a little bit after. And I thought that it was quite the production. However, it seemed like they kind of drug a lot of stuff on because they had like some trivia stuff. They talked to a couple people inside the Opera House and that segment seemed to go on forever. And then they came back later in the stream and did another one of it. They did some stuff talking with the Imagineers for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yes, I did see that.
So that was kind of interesting. But I just felt there was a lot of time that was spent kind of hovering along the same things. However, I also really enjoyed the Dapper Dan's performance. I thought they did a great job. And I also shout out, I don't know who she was, but shout out to the cast member who I got fixated on because she was in the background when they were on Main Street, and mm-hmm. she was responsible for keeping everybody moving.
Oh, sure.
And there were some times where people were like waving, and she waddled on over there so quickly and was like, keep moving, keep moving. And then people would distract her over here, and then other people, so then she'd notice, and she was getting her workout, man. And it looked like it was just her. So I want to say, if anybody knows who this lady was, or if you are this lady, amazing job. You were working hard at trying to keep all this stuff going. So I want to definitely shout out to that cast member, because, like I said, I got fixated on her and I was like, man, she is just working. And so anyway, but I thought the presentation was pretty good. I thought it was a little bit longer than it necessarily needed to be. They did have a couple technical difficulties, like you said, but you know, for a live stream, I mean, they did a pretty great job coming straight from the park.
The parts that I caught, I really enjoyed. I watched up until it like went black, and then I got out of it and I'm like, maybe once, you know, because I had it playing, I like you had it playing at work, so I stopped it because it had blacked out, and I was like, I'll just, you know, either it'll still be going when I get home, or perhaps I can rewatch it once I get home. But once I got home, it was already finished, so I wasn't able to rewatch it. Perhaps they'll put it up. Just checked, it is currently unavailable now, so I don't think they're gonna share that again. But it was really interesting. The biggest, coolest thing that I really liked, this is gonna sound ridiculous, but they talked about the food, and they talked with one of the chefs, and I really liked hearing the thought process and the reasoning why the Disney 100 foods are the Disney 100 foods. Like, you were getting on you need to hear this part.
Yes.
So it was inspired by Walt.
Okay.
In essence. So like, there's a burger at Hungry Bear that didn't sound very interesting to me, but when they were talking about, like, when we first saw the foodie guide, I just kind of breezed over it, but now I want to try it. It's a burger that has these two like hash brown patties on it and this like cheese chili sauce, so it's kind of a version of like a meat and potatoes type thing, so like,
but on a burger.
So it's kind of this reimagined meat and potatoes burger, but it's a meat and potatoes thing because that was something that Walt really enjoyed. And the reasoning for the lemon, and specifically like the lemon cake, they said was because that was one of Walt's favorite like treats, was the lemon, that lemon cake that they've got.
Yeah, I was wondering why so much lemon, but that makes sense.
It's a Walt thing. And I was like, I did not know that. So yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But yep, there's that potato and cheddar cheeseburger. And then there's also a lemon chiffon pie. I can't remember what exactly it was about the lemon chiffon pie, but yeah, specifically. And then same thing with like the cream soda, you know, that was kind of more of an old-fashioned soda.
Sure.
Cream soda. So anyways, I thought that was really interesting. I didn't know those things, and it makes me look at those foods and choices differently now.
That is definitely interesting. Mm-hmm. I am glad that you watched that, because I did, like most things, I was like, oh, it's just food, I don't care. Because I wanted to see the entertainment stuff. Wanted to hear about the entertainment. I wanted to hear about Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. I wanted to hear about Wondrous Journeys. I wanted to hear about World of Color One. And those are the things that I was looking for. And it took them a while to get to that stuff. I think they knew that's what people kind of wanted. Yeah. So they kind of, you know,
built up to it.
They did talk about the stuff that was happening in the Opera House and everything like that, which also looks like a pretty cool exhibit that they have put in there. They do still have some of the stuff, it seems like, from the Haunted Mansion exhibit that was in there from before.
A couple of things. Yeah, but not it's not the focus.
Sure.
I'll tell you what. It is crazy, and I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to confess this to everyone. I know we talked about, I don't remember if it was on one of our live streams or when it was, but we had talked about what we were looking forward to the most with the Disney 100. My answer has changed, and it's kind of a ridiculous answer, and I am okay with it.
Okay.
The thing I'm looking forward to experiencing it was a cop-out. It was the feeling, because when you're in the park... It's true, though. There is just a different, like, electricity in the air during events like this.
Sure.
But now, like, more specifically things. Of course, yes, the entertainment. But some off-ball things that I'm just beyond excited to see. I am beyond excited for the exhibit at the Opera House. Like, crazy excited to go look through all of those displays. And then I'm really excited. The fountains. I'm obsessed with the fountains. And, like, you, the I'm obsessed. I am obsessed with the monorail wrap that,
oh,
like,
yes.
I don't even know, platinum iridescent.
Yes.
Beautifulness that they've got going on there. Obsessed. Those are the three, like, top things. I'm putting Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and the Nighttime Entertainment. That's its own category. But as far as, like, the other celebration stuff, those three things I'm so excited for.
So the monorail was kind of a surprise to a lot of people because they didn't talk about it. It was just there. Somebody that I watched, I don't remember if it was on Instagram or YouTube, but somebody was going into the park to cover the Disney 100, and they were talking about walking up to the front gate. And then the next cut was they were inside of the park, and they said that they got distracted because they were trying to get into the park to experience the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they had to sit and watch the monorail go by a couple times outside because of how beautiful it is. Yeah. It is the only thing that I have seen that consistently shows off the platinum, like, iridescent mm-hmm. shininess. And man, whatever they did for that, I know it's a different material and everything.
Well, and it's moving.
But I wish they would have done that on the castle, because I felt like the drapes and stuff on the castle.
I feel like it's got that, but you can't capture it as well with a video or a camera, because the monorail, the monorail's moving, so the light's hitting it differently as you're watching it versus something that's just hanging there. The light's just hitting, like, if you're standing there in person and kind of going side to side, I think you get that from those, but I know what you're saying.
Usually when they've done wraps, my initial reaction is, this is cute, but I'm okay when this goes away. I hope they never take this off the monorail. They will, but man, it looks cool.
My hope is that it doesn't, that it holds up. That's I have a fear that it perhaps won't hold up well in the sun, and I hope that I'm wrong.
Well, it's been so long since we've seen the actual paint style of the monorail, and if they're going to keep putting wraps on, this just looks amazing. It looks mm-hmm. gorgeous. It really makes the monorail stand out.
My favorite thing that I have seen was someone took a video of it above the submarine lagoon. Mm-hmm. And it's, so you've got the rainbow colors shining off the monorail, but then that's also reflecting into the crystal blue waters of the submarine lagoon. It was just breathtaking. I'm going to spend an inordinate amount of time staring at the monorail when we're there.
It is very, we talked about this with D23 that they kind of were, razzle dazzling us. And I feel like the monorail is a very razzle dazzle.
We're just like,
well, I can see people in the Esplanade, like, watching it go by and just stopping to take mm-hmm. in, like, how neat it looks mm-hmm. or whatever.
Oh, 100%.
This is definitely something I'm probably going to take a billion pictures of when we get there, because it's so cool.
It's going to have to be. So usually when we're at the parks and we see the monorail, we go, oh, monorail. And, like, we have to mention, like, we have to announce that it's there. This is my prediction. I don't think we're going to go, monorail. I think we're going to just all stop and, like, pick our jaw, like, just stop and stare at it and then pick our jaws up off the floor and continue on. I don't think we're even going to have the thought process of monorail, because we're just going to be so, like, oh, and its beauty.
I don't think I'll miss it, because sometimes when we stay over at the Hojo, I won't exactly see it right away, but I think this is, like, so vibrant that it'll be like, oh, monorail.
That's true. But I don't think you're going to, I think you're going to be so, like, taken with how amazing it looks that you're not going to have the monorail thought process.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm going to scream, like, monorail!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not going to have the same, like,
So before we get to the headliners, can we talk about just overall decoration of the park? What do you think from all of the stuff we've seen over the last weekend and even before that?
100%. I'm here for what do I want to say? I'm here for the fountains. I'm obsessed with the fountains. I haven't even seen the fountains in person, but all of the photos, the videos, the sound, I don't want them to go away. I want them to stay forever.
I don't think they'll go away.
I love them. I love them so much.
That's my favorite.
That is my favorite thing, is the fountains. I'm not saying that I don't like the rest of the decor, but it's the fountains are just, like, they're just so magical. There's something about the fountains.
I'm liking the not the medallions that are hanging everywhere, but I enjoy the bunting that goes with the medallions. It's that iridescent. That purple next to it. I love purple. It's that kind of dark purple that I love. So I'm very excited about that. I think that the outfits that the characters are wearing, I think, are also really
great. Very fun. I'm still reserving judgment on like the castle decor and the medallions, because I truly don't think, yes, I fully believe that they don't photograph well, and that they look 100 times better in person. And when you're like seeing them in the sun, and like I said, like kind of looking at them from different angles is kind of where you're going to really catch the like iridescent.
I hope you're right.
Platinum. I'm pretty confident.
Okay, let's get to the biggers. Let's talk about new attraction.
So Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, of course, opened with the celebration of the Disney 100 on Friday, and instant hit. One of our weekly tiers actually ran into Ken Potrock on Friday. So that was pretty amazing and very exciting. But Ken shared with them that the 7 a.m. virtual queue was full in 2 seconds.
I believe it.
I mean, crazy. I was watching people on people that had shared video on Instagram of them trying to do it. Literally, people, you could have done absolutely everything, all of the right things, and still not get the virtual queue, because it was just boom. It was just like a blink of an eye, it was gone. But on the flip side, for some reason, the individual lightning lanes did not go as fast as they were not gone in 2 seconds. They were actually, I want to say, I saw people reporting that like at 10 and 11 a.m., you could still purchase an individual lightning lane.
Well, they were $20.
They were $20, which is pricey, especially when it's, you know, you plus four, or you know, however many are
family,
in your group.
Yeah.
It is pricey. It can add up really quickly, but I feel like they also could have charged $50 a head for that, and people still would have done it. So I was pleasantly surprised that it was, I'm going to say this loosely, but only $20 is still a lot, but
I
was fully expecting it to be higher. So
I thought
I'm
it'd
glad
be 30.
They didn't.
I thought it'd be 30.
Oh, I was thinking like 40, 50.
Oh,
honestly.
Wow.
Honestly. I really was. I did not think it was going to be affordable.
So I want to say that I think leading up to the attraction, I think Toontown, the parts that we can see right now, looks great.
It looks better than I ever remember it looking.
Yeah.
It's so bright. It's so vibrant. It makes me very excited to see the rest of the land.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm here for Toontown. I'm ready.
From what
I've seen report wise, all of the different interactions in that back right corner, like where the gag factory was and electric factory, all that stuff, they were all working.
That's good.
I think there was maybe one that didn't work, but all of them were working.
I have one criticism. So they have this new grass play area for kids. I think it's wonderful.
I love it.
They have an extra shade. It's artificial turf, which is fine. I love this area. The only thing I do not like about this area is they should put more benches there.
And they might.
I hope so, because there were not a lot of benches there.
Yeah, and they might.
And I think they need that for sure. But Toontown looks great.
It's
vivid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so colorful and so... It fully looks and feels, with how vibrant these colors are, it fully looks and feels like you are like have traveled to, like, you don't feel like, I don't know, it just feels more real, real, more believable. I guess I don't know how to really categorize that. I hope beyond hope that Toontown and these buildings and these facades, that either the paint is better and doesn't fade with the sun as the previous paint had, they just keep up on it and they keep it at the same level and the same saturation or vibrancy or whatever you want to call it. It looks so, so cool.
It does look very good. The building itself, the El Capitan, I feel it seems like, compared to the buildings around it, is a little bit more vivid colors.
It's,
there's like some yellows and stuff.
Seamless it with does. The rest of the land. It does not look like that was a new addition.
Correct.
They did. The Imagineers did a phenomenal job with blending it in. They really did.
I cannot believe that they fit this massive queue area.
It's like a TARDIS. I don't understand.
It's larger on the inside.
It's so much larger on the inside. I don't understand. Did you see I cannot. I don't care. Like, this is going to sound real bad. We've experienced Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Walt Disney World.
Yep.
I am excited for that. But beyond that, I would just live in this queue. I would live in this queue and look at all of the cool. There's so many hidden fun details in this queue. And before you even get into the queue, there's one on the facade, like on the marquee board. Mm-hmm. Let me find it for you. Did you see this
one? I did see this. Yep.
They have specific letters that are highlighted in red. And if you look at those letters, they spell out a must see. It's A-M-U-S-T, and then just the letter C. So it's like a must see. So like yep. The attraction's a must see, a must do. I'm like, why are you so clever, Imagineers? Yep. I just love it.
Yeah, it looks great. The queue has tons, like you said, Teresa, has tons and tons of things, which is wonderful because that means that every time you go in, you can look for more stuff, and it makes standing mm-hmm. in a line way better.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see this in person. I know something we've talked about on the podcast before is how we have felt that there are some queues in Disney World that are way better than Disneyland's. This one is way better than Disney World's.
Far superior. Far superior. And then we were correct in our prediction. There is a gift shop at the exit. It is not currently open, but there will be a gift shop at the exit of the attraction. Currently, it's all covered in these big red velvet theater-looking curtains, Marion theme. But there is a gift shop. It just is not open yet. We don't have a date. They have not announced or really said anything about it, but the sign is out front for the gift shop.
I feel like it's going to be when the rest of Toontown opens.
Must be. I would have thought that they would have opened it right away, unless maybe, perhaps, I don't know. This is going to be just Teresa's thought process of this. The thought process might be that since the attraction is so popular, they don't also want people kind of lingering in that gift shop. And for those of you, it's the Engine Ear souvenir shop. I think that's so cute. So it's train themed. And Engine Ear, of course, engine and then ear, E-A-R. Adorable. So shout out to Michael F., our weekly tier, who was our eyes and ears. He was the first of the weekly tiers in our Discord chat that was able to experience the attraction. And I said, Michael, can you let us? Is there a gift shop at the end? We need to know. And yes, there is. Engineer souvenir. So thank you to Michael again for sending those photos over for us.
Yeah, absolutely. The rest of the attraction, it sounds like it's just like the one in Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. So really amazing. I think it's a great addition to Disneyland.
And the other thing too, for those, the thing that's just like amazing to me about this attraction is, you know how I feel about projections and how I like, especially when it's like a physical thing, like World's got a lot of this where it's like a physical thing. So like in the Frozen ride, physical person, but then they have projected the face on, like, you got to be real careful because I think most of the time physical things and the projections don't blend very well. This is seamless. Like, honestly, going through this, your mind almost plays tricks on you as to what is a physical prop and what is a projection. I mean, it's incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah. It's definitely worth going on. I think it is definitely the current rate of technology's version of a dark ride. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely kind of the next evolution of a dark ride, which is totally amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to end on a high. So let's talk about
World of Color 1 first.
Okay. So
that's the next one in the script.
Seen that. So before I had seen anything about World of Color 1, like any video or anything, I had seen reports online from the Orange County Register, actually was the very first place that I saw this.
This broke my heart.
That they were unhappy with it. They thought it was something that could be skipped, basically.
It broke my heart. So they, after it was after seeing the media preview, so it wasn't even open to the public yet, and it was getting negative reviews, and it just made me sad because I just think about the cast members like our friend Evan that work on, he didn't work on this specifically, but the cast members that work on these nighttime shows and just pour their heart and souls into these, and then when they don't get a good reaction from the public, it makes me so sad. So I felt so bad. And again, both of these, World of Color 1 and Wondrous Journeys, same thing with the decor. I'm not going to have a fully formed opinion on them until we experience them in person, because I feel like watching them on a screen or seeing images of them or even hearing how other people describe them is not the same as being there and being immersed and experiencing it yourself.
Sure. So I did watch a World of Color 1 video in 4K on YouTube from a source that recorded it later because the media preview was very windy that night. And one of the complaints was it was hard to see the projections on the missed screens and et cetera, et cetera. So I watched a different night where things were a lot calmer so I could get a more accurate representation of what the show might look like. It was a front row spot. Pretty wide angle, so you can kind of see everything that's going on. I will say that this kind of has the same problem that all World of Color has for me, which is, to me, they talked about, I mean, I feel like I should almost be able to recite it word for word, because Disney was like, how a single drop can make ripple effects and blah, blah, blah. And they started to kind of go that direction. They had this little segment with Walt, and they talked about how Walt Disney, you know, made this, you know, was one small drop and it made a ripple into everything. And then it kind of skipped over all the early Walt stuff and went right to kind of more contemporary stuff, which has been one of the complaints, is that you talk about how Walt made this drop to make these ripples, and then you kind of skip over all of the things that Walt actually did. So there's no Snow White, there's no Fantasia and that kind of stuff in the show. So they kind of felt bad about that. Now, I watched it and I thought that the thing it suffered from that all World of Colors do for me is it doesn't have a cohesive storyline. I want a storyline. And in talking to producer James about this, he said, you know, one of the things that World of Color is to him is it is a water pageant. It is to show off, you know, water, basically, and do cool things with the water. And I think it succeeds with doing stuff with the water. I think that the projections are done pretty well. I think the amount of things that they do in this show compared to the regular World of Color is more. What do I mean by that? They use the lighting on the Incredicoaster and on the Pixar Pal Around really a lot and throughout the show, which I like because in regular World of Color, you kind of only get that towards the end. So they did a lot of different things with it. They do a lot of different animations with the lights on the Incredicoaster and stuff that usually was just on the Pal Around. So a lot of these things, I think, looked really cool. They do a really neat kind of effect where there's a Marvel segment and Doctor Strange has the portal or whatever. They use kind of the outside of the Pal Around to look like a giant portal kind of thing. So they have a lot of these cool things. I thought the music was pretty okay. And one of the other criticisms that Orange County Register and Mice Chat had for it was there just wasn't a lot of energy in the show. It was a lot of kind of more mellow music and kind of mellow things. Star Wars, Marvel, high energy segments, but they were kind of close together and in the middle.
Sure.
So the beginning and the end of the show just felt kind of weak, but just kind of like there was no climax at the end of, like, you know, like in a fireworks show, you got like all the fireworks go off, or Fantasmic, you have, you know, all these things happening, where this just kind of ended on a whimper, I guess. But overall, I think they did a lot of great things with the tools they have for World of Color. I hope that whatever they come up with next for World of Color, that they try to do a story with it, like something like Fantasmic, that like everything leads to something, that there's a storyline you can follow. And I didn't feel that World of Color did that.
They sort of did that. You didn't get to see or experience this, but they sort of did that with the first Oogie Boogie Bash. They had a villains themed show at World of Color that followed, like, there was an original story for that. And unfortunately, it was just that, just the 2019 Oogie Boogie Bash that show.
I wish that would come back.
Had, or that show was presented. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't have much to say about World of Color 1 or Wondrous Journeys because I've decided, personally, that I'm going to try and avoid spoilers as much as I can, big ones being watching, you know, the full thing on, you know, YouTube or whatever, because for me, they're just never as good. I never appreciate, I mean, even with the technology and like the high def cameras that people have, I just never feel as excited or connected to the shows when I watch them that way versus when I experience them.
Well, it's not surrounding you, yeah.
Well, versus when if I experience the show and then watch it, I feel more connected to it because I had the in-person experience. Whereas, I don't know, I feel like I don't ever have high opinions when I watch them.
Sure.
Case in point, I did this for Pixar Fest. I watched the show that they did for the Pixar Fest. I don't even remember what that fireworks show was called, but that show, I watched it ahead of time, and I remember watching it on YouTube or wherever I found the video, and I was just like, oh, like I was like very underwhelmed by it. But then when we went and watched in person, it was a completely different experience. So because of that experience, I just don't even go there because I know that it just doesn't do it for me. So,
yeah.
But I'm still excited to see World of Color one because like you, I've seen mixed reviews and they could just do an entire, I would be okay with this if they just did an entire show that was just the colorful water fountains and the fire and the light. Like, I don't even need the projection screens.
Sure.
Because that's honestly my least favorite part about World of Color is watching stuff on the mist screens.
Yeah.
I love the vibrancy of the fountains. They're just so cool.
I will say one of the coolest things that feed into what you're talking about with the fountains and stuff, there is an effect that they do with the drop that they use the fountains and the vibrant lights of the fountains to make a ripple come out that looks really cool with it.
Because
it does a couple of them. It's like bloop.
That's
bloop,
cool.
And it does look really cool, and I enjoyed that. Can we talk about the medallions then end
yes.
on Wondrous Journeys?
Yep. So this is kind of a random thing to throw in here, but I went down the weirdest little rabbit hole with this, and this rabbit hole started when we were in Disneyland in December of 2022. They had all of these little medallion token books. We found them throughout the parks in DCA and Disneyland. And every time we would chat with a cast member and we would ask them, hey, do you know what this is about? Like, they were just intriguing because they were there. They were for sale. Nobody knew why. And so, of course,
just
they said, like, just the book that you put the tokens in. So think like a press penny book. But it's a beautiful book because it's that same like silvery iridescent that they've got throughout the color scheme for the Disney 100. But you couldn't open these, so you couldn't see how many you could fit. Nothing. We knew nothing about them. We just knew, apparently medallions are coming to celebrate the Disney 100. Well, this weekend, one community manager, Kate, as you may have seen, was at the park. She did a takeover of our Instagram to share some of the fun things and happenings, and she shared some of the medallions, which we got all excited about. I laughed because Tag immediately was like, I need those, and she picked up a set for him.
In fairness, she had only seen the one kiosk that had four.
Yeah, picked up the one kiosk with four.
And I thought that was the whole set.
So, and we're getting there. So, and they were cool. Super cool. They were like Mickey and Minnie and like all, you know, that kind of a theme. Well, then later she ran across another machine that had Star Wars ones. So, of course, Tag and James knew the Star Wars ones too.
James,
and
I didn't get the Star Wars
ones. It makes more sense for these medallions. They're, what, $6 a piece? Or you can get the set of four in the machine for $20. So you save a buck a medallion if you go that route. Well, then later, it was our friends at Disneyana had posted, there are currently 44 of these medallions that you can get at 11 different kiosk things. They're these little these little machines. 44, 11 machines around the park with these. There's a machine at the Disneyland Hotel. There's a machine at the Grand Californian. There's a machine in Pieces of Eight. There's a machine. They're all over the place. And Disneyana also purchased one of the collectible books to put their 44. The person that was posting for Disneyana purchased one of the books to put their newly acquired medallions in. You open the book. There are 80 slots for medallions. So this is like, I don't even know. It's like an onion or something. You just keep pulling back, and there's more and more layers and layers and layers.
It would cost you about $400 to get all of the medallions.
I just am boggled by this.
Elijah says, why not 100?
Exactly. Yes, why not 100? But so I'm curious. So I don't know if – so are the 44 currently at the Disneyland Resort the only ones? Are we going to get more machines? Are they going to swap machines out throughout the season? Or are you collecting these medallions throughout – multiple parks? Are there going to be different medallions in Disney World than there are at Disney? I'm here for them. I'm curious. I can't get on the medallion collecting train because there's too many of them and it get pricey very fast. But there are some really, really cool ones. So I'm going to get a couple of them for sure, but I can't be a completist and get all of them.
So here's my problem, and here's what I think is going to end up happening for me, is I'm going to want some of them, like pins, right? Like, yep, there'll be ones that just speak to me and that I want. But the problem is my and this doesn't really make sense, but this is how this all works. It's cheaper to buy them in a 4-pack. So I feel that I'm going to end up buying the 4-pack at each place and then using the ones I don't like, either offering them to you if you want them or offering them to Weekly Tiers as prizes for things like trivia nights or something and work it out that way. But
they're going to get you.
These things look really cool, though.
That'd be cool. We set up like, so it's like pins. So you have like medallion trading. So then you could trade for ones you want and trade away the ones you don't. I don't know. I just,
you know, people are already doing this.
It was just wild to me that we're like, oh, look at these. Look at the four medallions. Oh, there's 8 medallions. Wait a minute, there's 44. Hang on. The collectible book has how many spaces?
Like, yeah, well, and not to mention,
this is crazy.
This was like one of those mysteries that you were determined to figure out.
I was determined.
When we were there, you're like, what is it? Because nobody working there, at least they wouldn't say.
None of the cast members had any idea about why these books existed. And it was just like,
Yeah.
So anyways,
I'd like to finish
our
discussion.
Had to talk about the medallions.
Topic on what I think is the best thing from the 100th celebration at Disneyland.
And multiple people have been like in awe, blown away by this.
I'm gonna give you the spoiler alert right up front, folks. I do not think that this beats Remember Dreams Come True, the 50th anniversary fireworks spectacular, but I do think this is probably the second best fireworks show they've ever done at Disneyland. And so I did not, obviously we were not there for the kickoff, but I again found a 4K version of this on Main Street so you could kind of see everything. And I watched this and gosh darn it, since I watched it,
gosh,
that stupid song, It's Wondrous, has been in my head.
It's ingrained.
And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when Paint the Night came out and it had that catchy contemporary song that like was on the radio as well. This song could be on the radio. I'm telling you, it is that good.
You know, what's interesting is we heard a preview of this song.
And we didn't like it.
And yeah, I was going to say, and you did not have the same reaction. So there's something about the song plus the show.
But I will also say that right now they are running fireworks only on the weekends or holidays and not during the weekdays, which they've kind of been doing more of recently in general. But I will tell you from what I could tell, obviously fireworks always make it better because I love fireworks. But I think if you go on a night that doesn't have fireworks, I think there's enough of a show that it's totally worth it. Now, I kind of felt this way a little bit with Mickey's Mixed Magic because I actually thought that was a real fun show as well. Mm-hmm. The music was great. There was a lot of like dancing
stuff.
Oh, it was
so fun.
This is like take it up a notch from that.
Yeah.
I think that to me anyway, the projectors look like they're brighter and more vivid than they were before. There was a section, I have to go back and watch this, but there was a section that I swear looked like the projection interacted with the lights on the Main Street marquees. Mm. So that made it exciting to me because I love the lights on Main Street. And I thought that the castle looked great. I thought that the Blue Fairy looked good. I thought that Baymax coming across.
Spoilers.
I mean, everybody knows that all of this is spoilers. Looked great. All of these things looked amazing. I thought it was catchy. Even though I like a longer fireworks show, I feel like actually it was a pretty decent length for what they've done with it. They definitely have put in all of the animated things. There was a couple songs in there that are from things that I had never heard before, but gathered that they were from a Disney animated film, so that's good.
I'm excited about to hear that.
Well, because you have watched a lot more of the classic Disney
all
movies than I have. Yeah. So that's something that I felt like I was a little disadvantaged of, but I thought it was really good, and I feel like if I was there in person, there were people there that were like crying afterwards. Mm-hmm. I feel like I might have had an emotional reaction similar to that from this show because it did seem very touching. I won't give it away specifically what it is, but they perfectly tie a line from a movie into the end of the show. And I was like, I keep using this term lately because it's so old, but I still, chef's kiss. It was perfect. Mm. I thought whoever in their creative team came up with this.
Brilliant.
It was the perfect everything. Just, it was great. And then it did seem like it ended rather abruptly after that because, you know, they did a bunch of fireworks and stuff. But it's definitely a good show. I hope that I can see this show for a long time. I'm hoping that this, like most of the fireworks shows, I hope that this sticks around for a few years.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily connected directly to Disney 100. I also want the soundtrack for this. Bad, hardcore.
It's not available online?
I haven't looked too closely because I've been a little busy, but I want to. It's good. And I don't think, as a fireworks person, I really think that you'll be able to watch it without that. I do think that you should watch it on Main Street. On the nights that don't have fireworks, I think It's a Small World is going to be your place to go because that's going to be a really great place to see it. There are some of the projections. So I watched it a couple times online. There are some projections, some projection effects, I guess I'll say, that look really cool on the Main Street buildings. And it leads to kind of a part of the music that something happens with this that I kept an eye on the last time I watched it and I thought was done brilliantly. And I felt like for the first time, for me anyway, I thought that they did a really great job integrating the physical buildings into the projections and making it look like things were happening to Main Street. Mm-hmm. The castle, they've done that before. They've made like turrets look like they're doing stuff and rockets shooting off and stuff. But they actually did it on the Main Street buildings this time, and I thought they did an amazing job on it. And I cannot wait to see it in person. I think it's going to be really amazing.
From the reviews that I've seen of others that have watched this, and I like, even like Philander was like, has nothing but good things to say about this show. And because, and that's somebody that experiences these things, you know, way more frequently than we do. But because of some of these people that I follow on like Instagram and stuff, and how many positive and like incredible things they had to say about this show, I told Tag before we started, I said, I've never felt the like deep need to camp out to get a good spot for a fireworks show before, because I there's lots of like, you can get good spots like 30 minutes to an hour before. You don't have to be there all day. I almost feel that, I told Tag, I said, I feel a need that I want to camp out to have like a front row type view of this, because it's got like, there's so many amazing things have been said about this show that I don't want to, like, I want to be right there and watch the whole thing. I did not tell you this, but my plan for the next time we're there is to, of course, watch it with the fireworks. I want to watch from, like, I want to be as close to the castle as I can be. Probably like the hub really is where I want to be, not like up on the castle, but like hubbish area. And I want to watch it with the fireworks from there. And then I want to watch it projection only show from It's a Small World, but I also want to watch projection only on Main Street, because I want to be able to, like, because I feel like a lot of this, again, I don't really know because I have not watched any teasers, but I feel like a lot of this, because they said that they're touching on so many different animated movies, every animated movie is going to be, a lot of the details going to be in those projections.
Yes.
And I'm a distracted person. It's very hard for me to watch the fireworks and watch the you know, and really see the projections. That's why I want to do like as close to the castle, and because that's the best, like it's centered,
so you're not
better
getting
the way
distracted with the projections, well, like, to watch the fireworks.
Well, yeah, because like It's a Small World, it's kind of, you
to
have
the
to
side.
It's to the side, so you kind of look into the right at the, it's, you kind of have to go back and forth a little bit. And same thing when you're on Main Street, you almost have to, like, depending on when you're standing, you might be like turn 90 degrees from where the castle is to look at. So I want to do those areas minus the fireworks.
Sure.
And do the fireworks from like in front of the castle. And I, yep. So three nights. Sorry about it. We're doing it three nights.
I think it's a great show. I don't
and
have
then
the
one
same
of the nights will be World of Color One.
I don't have the same need as you to sit in front of the castle, but
I've never, so the only thing I've done right in front of the, I've never done fireworks from like in front of the castle area. The closest I've been is like in between Jolly Holiday, like closer to like Coke Corner section of Main Street. And
that's because when you get closer, you lose some of the fireworks.
Sure.
So
that's why I want to get closer, but not too close.
Imagine. So, you know, the sections of fireworks where like they launch from like, well, they do that one, which you can kind of see better, but where they do like the straight up ones.
Sure.
A lot of those you can't see if you're right in front of the castle.
I want to be like hub to Jolly Holiday, like that. Section. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good spot to watch the stuff.
That's where I want
to. You just have to be careful because then you've got the trees in the hub that can block.
That's why you
got to
be in the middle.
Yeah, so you gotta find
something.
I mean,
really, I want the benches that they have sitting in front of the partner statue. That would be where I would like to be, but we don't have that much money to be there. So that's not where I'm going to be. The only thing I've watched from in front of the castle was 2019 when we went for Oogie, when I went with my family for Halloween and did Oogie Boogie Bash. We just happened to walk in and they had just opened that section right in front. Like I'm saying, this is where the photo pass photographers take your photo section. Sure. In front of the castle. They had just opened that section up for people to come and like sit. Nobody, like there was nobody up there. And we sat I sat on the ground right there. It was projections only. And we watched Halloween Screams from right there, and that was pretty cool to watch that close, especially with like the big inflatable Jack head and Zero. Yeah,
totally,
super cool. So that's my plan. You can come with me, or I will do my plan on my own. But I want to watch it three times from those three specific areas.
I mean, I think
areas.
Those would be good spots to watch things from. I just don't know about the camping out in front of the castle thing for me. But Main Street, really excited for. You know what kind of sucks with the projection situation is I used to really enjoy watching the fireworks from up on the train station.
Oh yeah,
because you don't have to worry about anybody being in front of you. You get a really nice wide view of everything, mm-hmm. but they don't do projections in town square, so you miss all of that.
Yeah.
And it's too far away to see on the castle. Mm-hmm. But if you're just there for fireworks, that's a great place to watch fireworks. The Remember Dreams Come True Fireworks Spectacular, that was a great spot because you had the castle pirate fighting with the Matterhorn, and you had both of those perfectly in your view up there, and you didn't have buildings block you. You didn't have any of that. And so it was really wonderful. So if you are only going to watch one nighttime spectacular for the Disney 100, I would say Wondrous Journeys is my pick. I think from what I saw, it's great. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. I now want to go find a video on YouTube of somebody who watched it at Small World because I want to see what those projections
are. Well,
and see, like.
And what you're just explaining, which is now why I need to see it at Small World and in Main Street, is if there's building interactions on Main Street with it, that'll be different for Small World because you can't have like the Penny Arcade projected onto the Small World facade. Like
Correct.
You have the Penny World or the Penny Arcade facade projected on the Penny Arcade. So
sure.
I feel like it's going to be different experiences at both.
Yes. In fact, I'm just quickly glancing.
Look at the fun little things that I'm seeing right now with what they're doing with the Small World facade.
Yeah. Look at that though. Like they've done such a good job with like the projections and lining it up so perfectly. And this even seems brighter than the stuff they've done back there before even. I feel like they're just really vivid this time. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Anyway, you guys, if you are so inclined, you can go watch some online versions. I'd recommend finding 4K versions and watching those because even if you don't have a 4K screen, it's still going to be the crispest picture you'll get. So
we're very excited, counting down the days until our next trip so that we can experience this ourselves in person.
Yes.
So excited.
If we missed anything about the Disney 100 that you think we should talk about, make sure you leave a comment on our social media, pretty much DL Weekly everywhere, or send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net, and we will be happy to share that with the rest of our audience.
Mm-hmm. Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang, but please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. The menus can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Hello and welcome back to Trivia Land.
Do you even know where you are, James? Are you actually in Trivia Land?
No, it's all over the place. It's just like a post-it note. We keep changing where it is anyway, right? So, but let's just dive right into the answers this week. Our Main Street Electrical Parade themed trivia. Question one, one of the Main Street Electrical Parade floats made a TV appearance in 2020 on what show? It was The Snail on Dancing with the Stars.
Good job, Teresa.
Excellent work, Teresa.
We're going to high five yourself on that one.
I was wondering how sure you'd be on the cross promotion that would work for that Disney night when The Snail popped out. Question number two from listener Brooke A, which float has been featured in all three of the Main Street Electrical Parade appearances at Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom at Disney World, and at Disneyland Paris? It is the Casey Jr. train float, aka the train with the drum.
Boom!
It should be Elliot.
I do forget that that's Casey Jr., but yes.
I figured I would fill you in on that one since you were eager to correct me this week. But yeah, I was surprised it wasn't Elliot. Anyway, number three, during its farewell year in 1996, before it glowed away, put these parade elements in order, the six I was looking for in order. The correct answer is Alice in Wonderland, Cinderella, with a Big Ben imitation clock tower striking midnight, separating it from Peter Pan.
So they are together.
Dobie's Mine Train, a.k.a. Snow White, Pleasure Island, and Pete's Dragon, meaning you two really muddled up the middle of that parade.
That's because it's so magical that we just, you know, it's hard to remember it. It's just so magical.
It's true. It's funny because, Teresa, you basically had it until Tag talked you out of
it. Dang
it, Tag! You just had Peter Pan and Cinderella flipped originally, so.
And I'm going to put myself high-fiving myself for that one in the chat.
You're messing us up.
Yep.
I'm not letting you hitch your wagon to my answers anymore.
I know.
Mr. Didn't Know Dancing with the Stars.
Really well, you answered it quick. See, if I were you, what I would have said is I would have said, well, you say your answer first.
I'm nice.
Oh, and our final question this week, I'm lost in the park. I got lucky and caught the beginning of the Main Street Electrical Parade. From there, I head north, but this imaginary line for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad is too long, so I hop on another train and go for one stop, the Disneyland Railroad, that is. Hop off, ignoring the noise to my right. As I walk and take my first left, I go until I run out of path, deciding to enter the building on my right. I have gone shopping at the Star Trader. Well done, Tig and Teresa.
Boom!
You know, the Star Trader, we've spent quite a bit of time the last couple of trips
in Star Trader.
There's so much going on with it. Like, there's so much. I just forget. It's huge in there.
It is. And they have kind of a decent variety of stuff in there as well.
It really
now,
is.
Wait a minute. You said, Elliot, where was the parade that floats the same at all the places?
Disneyland, Magic Kingdom at Disney World, and Disneyland Paris.
I know. I see one at Disneyland Paris, but that doesn't mean there's one at Disney World, though.
You don't think Elliot was at Disney World?
I don't know, Teresa.
There's an image of Elliot at Disneyland Paris that we just found.
We might have a correction in the works, folks.
Right there. Main Street Electrical Parade returns to Disney World. Here's Elliot. Perhaps there's both of them.
It's very well,
perhaps. Oh my gosh, if it's both right, that'd be hilarious to me. So Elliot was at all three. So we were both right. High five. It was a sad high five, Tag.
Look at each other's elbows. You'll never miss.
I wasn't even looking at
you. He just went like this.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I had fun looking at the Main Street Electrical Parade for trivia this week. Who knows where we'll go to next year? Just kidding, because this parade's going to come back every year.
I think it'd be cool if it came back. Like, don't retire it, but just. I know it's impossible, but it just travels every year. So each, like, it's here a couple years, there a couple years. That'd
so
be cool.
Are you saying that the electrical parade is kind of like a weird version of the Disney vault? Like, it just comes around every few years?
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. And know what else sounds wonderful? Questions from our listeners. Whether you want to stump TNT or give them a bit of a bone and let them have the right answer, the question you have is probably the right question for them. Send producer Vern and I an email. It's trivia@dealweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.